stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born.
Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name.
Christ was born, oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night divine.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were, in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them.
Station on a cold and snowy Christmas Eve. He hadn't really celebrated Christmas much in the years since his wife had passed. It was just sort of another work day for him. He didn't hate Christmas, he just couldn't find much to celebrate. So he was sitting there for about an hour or so watching the snow come down, and the front door opened and a homeless man walked in. Instead of throwing him out, he told him to come in and sit over by the heater, warm himself up. The stranger said, I don't mean to intrude. He said, but it's just so cold outside. I'll only be for a few minutes. Well, old George, that's what his customers called him. Old George said, that's all right, sit down. Then he reached behind and he grabbed a thermos, began pouring some soup, and he handed it to the stranger, and he said, it isn't much, but it's hot, it's tasty. He said, I made it myself, and when you're done, there's some coffee over there, it's fresh. And just at that moment, he heard the ding of the driveway bell. Excuse me, he said, I'll be right back. George went outside and he saw an old, like a 53 Chevy, and steam was rolling out from underneath it, and the driver, he seemed panicked. Mister, he said, Mister, can you help me? And George said, well, what's up? He said, my wife, she's pregnant and she's in labor right now. I've got to get her to the hospital. My car just stopped running. George said, well, I'll take a look. He lifted the hood. It looked bad. Steam was coming out from the engine. Looked like the engine block was cracked. The engine was dead. George turned to the guy. He said, I don't think you're going anywhere tonight. At least not in this car. At least not for a while. Mister, he said, please help me, mister. George said, all right, hold on. So he went into the office and grabbed some keys. Came back out, walked around behind the gas station and opened the garage, and then was in there was his truck. He started his truck, drove it around the front. He said, here, take my truck. He said, it's not the prettiest thing you've ever driven in, but it'll get you to the hospital. He said, but can I trust you to bring it back? Sure, said the driver. I'll bring it back. George said, all right, look, take the truck, bring it back a couple of days after your wife has a child. Has that baby, and I'll have your car fixed by then. So then George helped the driver get his wife into the car and then the truck, and he watched it drive off into the night. So he turned and walked back into his office. He said, kind of glad that car broke down right here. Those tires on that car were way too bald, way too dangerous to be driving on these icy roads tonight. Well, George thought he was talking to the stranger. When he looked around, the stranger was gone. All that was there was an empty bowl and an empty cup. George thought, well, at least he got something to eat. Poor guy, said, I hope he stays warm. Then George thought, well, I think I'll go out and see if I can get that car started. So he went out there and he was messing around with it. It took a while. He finally got it to crank over and Then he got it started. So he drove it around back into the garage where the truck was. And he thought, well, you know what? Might as well work on it tonight. It's Christmas Eve and I got nothing else to do. So he starts working on the car and all of a sudden he realizes the block wasn't cracked. It was a radiator hose underneath that was leaking. He goes, oh man, I can fix this. So he fixed the radiator hose and then he's standing there looking at the car and he's thinking, man, there is no way those tires are going to make it through the winter. So he went over to his tire rack and he took off four new tires. He started putting them on the car. George heard the shots, ran outside. He sees a police car across the street, an officer laying down in the road, bleeding from his left shoulder. George ran over to him. The officer said, please, man, help me. George helped him up, got him into the gas station as fast as he could. Now, George had been a medic when he was in the Army. He knew this wound needed to be treated. He thought, man, I got to put some pressure on this to stop the bleeding. Well, the uniform company had been to his shop earlier that morning, dropped off a whole bunch of clean shop towels. So George grabs a couple of shop towels, got some duct tape, tapes up the guy's shoulder. And he says to the officer, hey, you know, they say duct tape can fix anything, hoping to ease the, just help the police officer relax a little. Listen, he said, you hang in there. I'll call the ambulance. He picks up the phone in the office, and the phone line's dead. Man, he goes, this storm must have knocked out some lines. I'll go see if I can get somebody on your car radio. So he runs outside, only to discover one of the shots had gone through the dashboard, destroyed the radio. So George came back in, and the officer at least was sitting up at this time. He said to George, hey, man, thanks. Appreciate you helping me out. He goes, listen, man, you better be careful. The guy who shot me, he's still out there. Well, George sat down next to the officer, and he started pulling back some of the bandages. He just wanted to check and see if, you know, he was still bleeding. He said to the officer, look, this wound looks a lot worse than it is. That bullet, it just passed right through you. And man, it's really incredible. It didn't hit anything at all. It just went right through you. He goes, you're going to be all right. Well, just then, the front door of the gas station flies open. In bursts the man with a gun. Give me all your cash, he said. Give it to me now. And he's holding the gun, but he's shaking. And George could tell this guy had never done anything like this before. The officer yells, hey, that's the guy who shot me. George turns toward the young guy's son. He said, man, you don't want to do this. Why don't you give me that gun, man? He goes, someone else is going to get hurt. The guy looks at him. He looks at the officer. He said, I didn't mean to shoot him. He yelled, and when I turned around, the gun went off. I didn't mean to shoot him, but I need some money, man. Give me some money. George noticed the police officer was starting to reach for his gun. George said, hold on. He turns toward the young guy. Listen, son, he goes, it's Christmas Eve. If you need money, all right. He goes over to the cash register, opens the cash register, takes all the money out, about $250. Hands it to the young man, but as he hands it to the young man, he puts his hand right on the barrel of the gun. For about 30 seconds, no one moved. Then the boy let go of the gun, drops to the floor. I can't do this. I'm no good at this. My life's a mess. He goes, the company I worked for went out of business. I don't have a job. I haven't had a job for months. My rent's past due. We're getting evicted. I just got my car repossessed. I don't know what happened. I just snapped. I don't know. Well, George gave the gun to the police officer and said, son, look, sometimes the road does get hard and you find yourself in difficult situations. He goes, but you can't be hurting and robbing people. That doesn't solve it. So he helped the young man up, got him a cup of coffee, said, why don't you sit down here, warm yourself up. said, let me see if we can sort this thing out. Well, the young man was sitting there looking at the police officer. Sir, he said, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to shoot you at all. The gun went off. I've never even shot a gun. When you yelled, it just... I'm sorry, man. I'm really sorry. The officer, just shut up, man. Drink your coffee. Well, George could hear sirens outside. And then a police car and an ambulance pulled up, screeched to a halt right in front of the gas station. Two officers come rushing in, guns drawn. Chuck, are you all right? The wounded officer, yeah, he goes, I took a shot, but I'm okay. How'd you guys find me? Oh, they said somebody down the road said they heard some gunshots, so we tried to get a hold of you. When we couldn't get a hold of you, we figured you were in trouble. What happened? Well, Chuck said, well, I was driving down the road, and I saw this guy standing in front of the stores. Looked a little suspicious, so I stopped. When I got out, I called him. Well, he turned around, he shot me, and the next thing I know, George here is helping me inside the gas station. The officer said, well, did you see who did it? Chuck hesitates for a minute, looks over at George and the young man, looks back at the officer. Well, he goes, man, it all happened so fast, and it was so dark. George and the young guy look at each other with this puzzled look on their face. Then Chuck turns towards George. He goes, hey, he goes, does that young guy that's standing next to you, does he work at this gas station? George looks at him, looks back at the officer. I just hired him. Young guy's been out of work for a while, yeah. Just then the paramedics came in and they put the wounded officer on the stretcher, started carrying him out. The young guy comes over to him, whispers real quietly, why'd you do that? Chuck says, it's Christmas, boy. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, George. Thanks. And they carried him out. After they left, George went over to his desk in the office, opened the drawer, and took out a little black box. Gave it to the young man. He said, here's something for your wife for Christmas. My Martha, she wouldn't mind. The young guy opens the box, and it's a beautiful little necklace. I can't take this. This means something to you. He goes, yeah, well, now it means something to you. I've got my memories. That's good enough. And then George reached on the shelf. He took off an airplane and a little car. They were toys that the oil company had left for him to sell. Here, he goes, something for your little boy for Christmas. The young man starts crying and hands him back the cash, $250. I'm so sorry, he said. George said, you know what? Keep it, man. Use it for your rent. Listen, man, you need to get on home. It's Christmas Eve. Your wife and son are probably worried sick about you. So the young man starts walking out, and then he turns around. He says, hey, I'll be here tomorrow morning if that job offer is still good. Nah. Tomorrow's Christmas. I'm closed. But hey, I better see you the day after bright and early here. George turns around and the stranger was there. He said, where'd you come from? I thought you left. He said, no, I've been here. I've been here all along. George, he said, you say you don't celebrate Christmas. Well, why is that, George? Well, he goes, when my wife died, I don't know, just lost all of its excitement. I just felt like it was empty. I didn't want to put the tree up anymore. I didn't want to celebrate. I didn't want to bake cookies like we used to. It just lost all of its meaning. The stranger walked over to George, put his hand on his shoulder. George, you do celebrate Christmas. George, you fed me. And you helped me get warm when I was cold and hungry. George, you helped that young family. You loaned them your car. George, you You helped that police officer. You even put yourself in danger going back out there. And George, you hired the young guy who was going to rob you. By the way, he's going to turn out to be an awesome employee. George, giving and helping is the spirit of this season, and you keep it as good as any man. George was taken back by this. How do you know this? Trust me, George, I've got an inside track on this kind of stuff. And anyway, listen, George, when your time is done on this earth, you'll see your Martha again. Then he started walking toward the door. Excuse me, I've got to go now, George. And George is looking at him, and his clothes, they start like glowing. They turn into like a white robe, and then a golden light comes into the room. Merry Christmas, George. And then the guy, he just disappeared. The Bible tells us that we should always be open to helping strangers and people in need, because the Bible says sometimes those strangers may actually be one of God's angels. And there is a story in the Old Testament about Abraham when he was visited by three strangers. And one of the strangers, the Bible tells us, was actually God. Now, for some reason, God has decided that he would hide himself in people that are in need. Can you just grasp that for a minute? God, Almighty God, has chosen to hide himself in people who are needy. He's disguised as your neighbor who's in need of some help or some food. He disguises himself as the young guy or the young girl that needs someone to come alongside and give them some advice and direction. He disguises himself as your coworker who's going through a difficult time and just needs a friend. If we're not careful, we can easily become just like the people in Bethlehem on that Christmas night. We can easily say, we've got no room, we have no time for him. But here's a question. What would have happened if those people in Bethlehem knew that baby that was to be born was actually their Messiah? What would have happened? Do you think they would have had room for him that night? You better believe they would have. But here's the thing. They missed their opportunity because they had their own idea of how the Messiah would come. God's ways are not our ways. And they didn't see, they didn't recognize that God was disguised as a little baby in need. So this Christmas, as we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, let's remember God sent his son so that he could dwell among us. He sent his son so that he could be a part of our everyday life. And let's make sure that as we rush through our daily lives, that we stop, take some time, and recognize the presence of God. And always, always remember this. God often disguises himself as people in need. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this Christmas story that you sent Jesus, but you didn't just send Jesus, you sent him as a little baby with parents who had need. God, it is beyond us to understand how it is that you hide yourself in people who are needy. But I pray, God, that we would have eyes to see, that we would not miss our opportunity to be a part of advancing your kingdom by helping those that you bring our way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
great. In just a moment, we're going to have our ushers come and light our candles. You guys can get those ready. But before we do, I'm just going to read a few scriptures about how Jesus is the light of our lives. And I just want to encourage you to open your hearts and just hear the word of God from your spirit, because these are really what Christmas is all about. So Isaiah 9:2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death upon them, a light has shined. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And finally, 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Amen? All right, ushers, at this time, you can go ahead and light our candles. Thank you. Oh, does anyone need a candle? You can raise your hand and they will get you one.
Silent night, holy.
Well, that concludes our Christmas Eve service. We wish every one of you a blessed celebration. Enjoy the gift of God. Enjoy each other's fellowship. God bless you. You're all dismissed.